Hello and welcome to the Just Another Castle podcast. I'm your host, Matt, and with me this week is our pro gamer, Mike.
Pew pew. Oh, shit. Pro gaming over here.
So pro.
He hit all those pews and things.
The pews and the boo-boos.
Exactly. Michael Winslow over here. This is his real name.
What?
And we also have our retro aficionado, Uno Clay.
Little GB for y'all. Little Ghostbusters for the X Halloween season. Yeah, we'll take that down. We'll take that down. All right, that's great. Yeah, I've been playing the old new remastered Ghostbusters video game for Halloween. So
that's oh, nice. Great. Yeah, it was right? A pretty good game too.
Yeah, I enjoy it. It's not new at all.
I heard it was alright.
Yeah, it's. It was on sale for $9. It's way worth $9 if you're at all curious. I don't know if the sale ended after Halloween, but like, if you want to play, if you like the Ghostbusters at all, the real meat of it, it's one of your standard guided adventure games that you're just kind of like, you know, going through a mission, you know, and then there's not a lot of like deviation at all. It's like, go from point A to point B, get all the ghosts, next level. But like, they made the ghost trapping really fun, and the graphics are like really cool for the ghost trapping, and that's like what you're there for. I realize when I'm playing it, I'm like, all I'm really here for is like catching ghosts, you know, and fighting Stay Puft, and they nail that stuff. So it's like, you know, it's in no way a revolutionary video game, but it looks like when you're catching the ghosts and the trap opens up and like the graphics kick in, it's like you're like, oh man, this is awesome. This is like playing the movie, kind of, you know. It's pretty cool. Yeah. So
yeah, if it's from cool, yeah, I heard from other fans that it was basically like what they would have wanted out of Ghostbusters 3, since that can't really be made anymore. So, you know, you may not have gotten the movie, but at least you got something that's as close as you could have gotten with all the actors.
Obviously. That's exactly why I wanted to play it. It's got elements of the lost Ghostbusters 3 script, and they did all the voices. The voices is the number two reason to play it, or number one, depending on your perspective. It's all the real voices, and it's pretty funny. They get the repartee correct, you know, like being snarky to each other and being nerdy and making comments on the ghosts and stuff. You know, it's very guided, like half a movie, half a video game kind of experience, you know. But if it's still on sale, you shouldn't even hesitate. You should download it and play it at least a little bit. You know, it gets a little repetitive, but I'm enjoying it for what it is. It's like, hey, it's the Ghostbusters, you know, can't go wrong.
Exactly.
Anyway.
All right. So, we'll start off with what we've been playing and then talk about the direct mini and whatnot. Actually, I want to say, for those of you who haven't tried Pikmin 3 before, on Wii, go buy it. There's a demo on the eShop. And I'm giving it a shout out because, you know, Nintendo decided to release their direct mini like a day or two after like this game launched, or around there. And then a Hyrule Warriors demo. So that basically like took all the wind out of it. And then they post like some Pikmin, cute Pikmin gifts, and it's like, that's not going to do anything now.
Yeah.
Way to go, guys.
Yeah.
Shooting. You just had to wait, and that was it.
Shooting those poor little Pikmin in the foot once again. Exactly. That's like when Futurama used to get preempted for football every single week, and then Fox wonders why Futurama's numbers aren't good, and they cancel it. It's like, what did you think was going to happen if you try to run the funniest cartoon show ever at the exact time every week when a football game is going to like cancel it? Like, what did you think was going to happen?
First off, Futurama is only good Comedy Central. The first four seasons only have good.
I agree that the first four seasons are the best part. Absolutely. 100%.
No, mediocre, but they have really.
How dare you?
Those that are good are gold, though. Like, in the, but my opinion, I think Futurama really benefited post movies. I think the comedy post movies Futurama is really good. That's when I actually was like fully in love with it.
Huh. I kind of feel the opposite, because I guess we won't go on a tangent for too long. But I feel that I'm guessing it has to do with budget. But you know, after the movies and when they went to, I forget, some streaming service, whatever they did, Comedy Central. After that, they didn't really involve as much the cast anymore, which is what I liked with the originals, where, you know, everyone makes an appearance in some small form. Whereas, you know, in the later seasons, they kind of didn't. They focused on like three characters at most, and then the rest were kind of shelved. And then I thought it was too much like, we've been gone too long, so we got to make jokes about everything that's happened till then. But
yeah,
that's not really like why Futurama was funny. It was like making fun of how current things would be warped like 1,000 years later.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, this weird thing is like even some weird things like Leela Singh axed instead of asked, which is like clearly wrong, but you know, a little thing that's lost over time, or shoot, little things like that. I can't think of the others at the moment, but like I think that was kind of a lost.
Just later. To be clear, Matt, but you're agreeing with me. You think the first four seasons are the best part, and then it goes downhill.
Yeah. Because yeah, I don't think the other ones are terrible, but
yeah,
I would say they're probably better than I give them credit for, but I don't think they're as good as the originals. Because there were some scenes people showed on Twitter. I was like, oh man, I don't remember what was that season from. And it's like, oh, it was the later ones. I'm like, it was actually really good. But
I really enjoy it. Like, I got into it. Like, I would just watch it because the same way Family Guy got Brisé. Like, you know, Adult Swim kind of had it, and it was like, oh, I'm just going to watch these. And it's like, they're doing pretty good. For me, it was more of like, wow, I like a lot of these, but I wasn't fully into it. But I was like, this is a good show. I gave it credit. I didn't like the movies, actually.
They're not great.
They're variable. Yeah, they vary.
The movies did save it. And then Comedy Central, to me, I was like, wow, this is gold. This show's awesome. And then they was like, hey, why don't you just watch every single one? So I was like, okay, yeah, I'll do that. So like the newer ones got me into Futurama, but like I guess there's a little bit of biasy, you know what I mean? Like I'll call it Final Fantasy biasy because we're in a video game podcast. But I was like, all right, these are funny. I like how it focuses on the characters I like, and you know, things like that.
I wish it was still on Netflix, because I fell Hulu. Off. Like, I don't have Hulu. Yeah, like I fell off. Like I was trying to like the newer ones because I had never seen the Comedy Central ones. And it just felt different, but I wish. I don't know. You know, hey, like, huge fan of the first four seasons and parts of the movies. That's all I can say.
Yeah. Anyway. They have real style episodes, though. Like, there's one focused about Hermes, and he gives his whole life. And it's like, you know what? This reminded me of an old Futurama. Like, you know, I felt for it. I was like, holy shit, this means a lot. And it had one of those cool tiebacks. And it's like, oh, crap, that's when that was. You know what I mean? It's like how this guy got this. You know?
Yeah.
I love how Futurama did that. I love that.
Bender's nice. Funny. He has like three different origin stories.
Yeah.
It's weird. But before we get too much sidetracked, Eli's popping on, and he can only be on for a bit, so that's why I'm kind of changing
moving
over.
It along. I'm here.
So yeah, we're talking about what we've been playing. I'm going to save. I only played the Hyrule Warriors demo, so I'll just talk about that later when it's relevant. So Eli, you've been playing Hades and some other stuff.
You cannot boo the demo king playing a demo, dude. That's just
exactly. I'm booing. I feel bad. He had to play Hyrule Warriors.
Flag on the planet. Flag on the planet.
Yeah. So I've actually been playing a decent amount of games. I guess over the last few weeks. By decent amount, I mean like more than zero, as is customary in law school. But you know, I've been playing Hades, which is. Made by Supergiant Games, developer of Bastion and
Transistor.
Has anyone else here played Hades?
I've heard of it.
No.
It's a console exclusive to the Switch, surprisingly. So I had to decide whether I'd play it on my PC or Switch. And I decided the Switch. It's got really excellent combat. But it's a roguelike. And so I was like super split because I'm not a huge fan of roguelikes. I know Uno or Clay, you like roguelikes, but I like can't stand having to play the same game over and over again from the very beginning. Like it kills my brain. But in this case, like the Hades is so good. There's like 8 different types of weapons, I think, and each one has such a different fighting style. And the upgrade system really gives you a way for every playthrough to have a really unique loadout. So every playthrough or until you find what you really like and would prefer feels great. And the really great thing about Hades is that there's like the story about you're like the son of Hades, the devil, trying to escape out of the underworld in Greek mythology. And you're like meeting, you know, various other Greek gods, and you're meeting, you know, boss enemies or whatever. And the story actually evolves and continues as you die, you know, game, you know, playthrough by playthrough. So, you know, there's kind of a hub where every time you die, you come back. But you'll, like, interact with the same characters over a course of every playthrough. In each playthrough, I don't know, it's like 20 or 30 minutes. And to even to the point where, like, the bosses, once you face them again and again, will, like, there will, like, be continued dialogue every time you face the bosses. And, you know, they'll trash talk you or something. And they'll actually change their fighting mechanics, so it feels different every time you play. So overall, I think the game is good. It's kind of, it's just once again frustrating that I've played it through. Probably I've got 7 playthroughs or something right now. Now I haven't beaten it a single time, but you know, died 7 times or something. And it just feels like a time sink. You know, I'll have a really good run. I'll put in, you know, I'll beat the get out of the third world out of 4. I'll feel great about myself. And then die, and then I start again, and that's you know, some people love that about roguelikes, but I just can't get over it.
That's fair. I mean, Eli, I was gonna say, you said 30 minutes of playing, which I know is already, you didn't play this game 30 minutes in law school when you have time. Come on now, all right, come on. Here, all right, come on, you got 10 minutes, all right. But no, I've heard the game's kind of cool. Like, I've kind of played a few roguelikes. I played Rogue Legacy. And I played Dead Cells, which I actually didn't like at all. I did like Rogue Legacy, but I just love the artwork design. And I like the idea that the story is, like what you were saying, that each character has, like, continued dialogue, like, for when you go back. And I heard there's multiple endings kind of thing. So it's like, once you get the knack for it, then it becomes, I mean, you're already, like, I don't want to say you're hooked, but you're already constantly replaying. I feel like once you get that first beat, you're going to be like, oh, shit, I want to keep doing this more and more. But that's cool, man. I'm glad you're enjoying it.
Yeah, I'll recommend it. I'd say it's good. It's such a good game that if you're a fan of roguelites, and I can't imagine, it's probably incredible. Some people have talked about Game of the Year for this game. But even if you don't like roguelikes, I'd say that it's good enough to where I'm having a pretty good time with it. I'm enjoying it. The thing is just, like, sometimes it gets old. Like, I can't play for it. Like, I can't do more than 2 playthroughs in a row. You know, I'm like, I got to start over again. Like, man, just an hour in the last 2 hours, you know, I've done this so many times, started from level 1 again, you know, I'm tomorrow.
Yeah, it's a format that's not going to be for everyone. I had a good friend who was really trolling me a lot, like trying to get me to play it because it was a little bitter. It was strange, the relationship I have with that game. Like, first of all, I did play, which one? They made Transistor, and what's the other one they made?
Bastion,
yeah. I played Bastion at your recommendation. The graphics and the dialogue are amazing, but I got bored of it because it was at its core, it was a hack and slash, like, basically. Like, and it was cool. I don't regret my time spent with it, but I didn't finish it, and I still haven't played Transistor, even though I bought it when it was on sale because of that. And I know it's by them, and it shares that really good graphical polish and everything. But it's kind of funny. There was so much hype around it, and one of my friends who played Gungeon hated it because he wasn't good at it, honestly, and he's a very good gamer, and he couldn't get into it. And then, like, me and another friend who put hundreds of hours into Gungeon basically taunted him into playing it, like, basically explaining to him, like, this is as hard as Dark Souls, which is a game he's good at. Like, you've got to put time into it. Stop hating on it. You just don't get it. Like, this is like hating on Dark Souls when you don't get it. Like, you just sound ignorant because the reason you hate it is because you're not good enough. So you should stop talking about it. Like, it's not, you don't know what you're talking about kind of thing. So he got Hades. He played a lot of Gungeon. He eventually got into it, but then he got Hades and he's like, dude, it's better than Gungeon. And I'm like, okay, sure. You know, and he's been taunting me like that since it came out. But the comedy is I can look at his profile and he's got 150 hours of Gungeon. And after a week of playing Hades, he didn't play it anymore. He's got like 15 hours of it. So I'm like, I'm not even going to touch that because I'm just like, okay, you spent like multiple text messages telling me how I need to play Hades, how it's so good, how it's so good. And isn't it strange you're not playing it anymore? Like, that's I just can't help but notice that. But if I'm not mistaken, it's to the point of the Hades game. It's kind of more of an RPG, right? It's a little bit RPG-ish.
It's got like, yeah, it's like a multi-layer. So there's like certain things that do carry over. From round to round. That's some, you know, some roguelikes have that quality. So like, yeah, there are some things. You know, you can upgrade yourself so that you get like 1 life. If you die, you kind of get like 1 revival or something. You can upgrade other things. And then there are other like sort of upgrades that are just run specific. And you can kind of like, once you get the whole the hang of certain like qualities, like certain upgrades you really like. You can, because like each god, each Greek god will give you like a different type of upgrade that you can then continue to upgrade throughout your run. So if you find something you like, you can actually kind of like buy items or turn on items that'll increase your chance of like drawing upgrades from those gods, so that like you can kind of roll the dice in your favor when you're going through your run to get the upgrades that you like. Mm-hmm. So that's why, like, yeah, you definitely can get further and further each round just off like get your weapons getting better and the way you upgrade your stuff.
In terms of the combat, though, is it more like an RPG or is it more action?
Like... No, it's definitely action. It's not like an RPG, but I would say it's not hack and slashy like Bastion. I'd say you definitely need like there's a lot of more strategy involved, I would say, in the moment to moment gameplay.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm not like there's so many good roguelikes and roguelites as it's been like become like kind of trendy to call them because it's not a full rogue like so roguelite. Is I think the genre that nerds would want to call it. But anyway, I have so many backed up that I want to play, including Dead Cells that Mike said he doesn't like that much, and Nuclear Throne and other games like that, that it's like it's a little further down my list. I mean, it's hard to take your review from me, who's probably the biggest fan of the genre of the four of us, and yeah. Like evaluate it, because it's like you're like semi into it and semi you just don't like the way it works. So yeah, that's interesting.
It's yeah. Probably why no, I had the appeal, because from what it seems... Oh, sorry, you cut out for me.
Sorry about that, Eli. Yeah, I was just saying, I think, Clay, you're more the rogue guy here. But I think for me, you know, the reason why I like my... I kind of like Rogue Legacy a little bit more, because it reminded me of classic platforming. It was like Mega Man meets 2D roguelike platforming. So it was like, oh, I died, but I'm going to come back, you know, with new equipment and I know how to attack this boss. And I kept going at it again, learning a boss's pattern. But it was like, with Dead Cells, I never really got that vibe. I just felt like there was like way too much going on. Like, I'd rather have my roguelikes be super simple, you know? Yeah, like
Dead Cells is famously super complex. Like, yeah. That's, I know that from other people who've recommended it to me. It's like a very time intensive game. So. Yeah.
It's not what I was expecting, so like that's why I didn't like it.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm curious. There's been so much hype around Hades. The thing that does keep me from like being more interested is definitely my experience with Bastion, where the game is so polished and so beautiful that it was funny that like I couldn't believe how quickly I got bored of it. Like where I was like, this game looks so good and it's so well made. And I'm a little bored of just hitting stuff. And I can't deny that that's leaking into my view of Hades, like whether I'd want to play it or not, like because it looks so good.
Yeah. That's why I think you'd like it more, because every run you really do have like a unique, you know, there's so many different weapons, but also upgrades and so many that really create unique builds for every run. Yeah. So I think it's more interesting. Nice. The one thing I get frustrated though with the roguelikes is that I think I'm actually, or with Hades, I think I'm actually like, pretty decent at the game. I got to the third out of fourth world on my like second or third run. But the problem is that like I almost would prefer that I'd be dying quicker and like get the run to run upgrades, you know, rather than making it in much further each time and then like losing all that progress and not getting as much, I guess.
An actual strategy where you could be like, well, I could keep trying to go farther, but maybe I'll just keep dying at like the first world so I can get more upgrades and then like take it on further.
I'm far from the world's expert on the genre. I'm far from it. But I would say this, most good design of that sort of game involves background stats managing that's going on against you that would reward you better for doing better. I mean, basic mm-hmm. game design, you know, like it's not going to reward you as heavily with good drops or good, like random elements of the game in your next run if you're only spamming like restarts. I mean, it might, because it would be like some built-in like easy feature. It's like, okay, this person's not very good at the game, let's give them better drops like sooner. But if it's a well-designed game, I would propose the game is going to take into account how well you're playing it, and it's gonna, because Gungeon is, that's people's barrier to entry. It's like you have to put 100 hours into it before you start getting the best drops, because you have to prove you can earn them, basically.
Like, even worse than Monster Hunter. Just give it 100 hours.
Oh my gosh.
worse. Like, it's way worse. Like, where it's like that back end of the game is more fun because you start. Well, I mean, most video games are designed that way. It's just a little more overt when you play roguelites and stuff because you're like, it's so in your face because it's kicking your butt right bad. And you have to face the fact that you're a level one again because you didn't survive long enough. But interesting. I'll take it into account. Thanks. Like, I needed another person to tell me about it because my friend has just been frankly just annoying about it, where he's like, it's better than Gungeon. It's better than Gungeon. I'm like, I think you're just trolling me because, like, you're not very good at Gungeon. Like, honestly, I think you just want to be able to say that, but it's all good.
Also, I did beat Dragon Quest XI. So,
nice.
Yeah, I guess I've been doing a decent amount. That was, like, my semester-long project. That's, like, the only other game I've played this semester, and I just finished it. And it's really good. I actually didn't play the Switch version, so I don't know how the special edition, the upgraded version is. Played the original PS4 version. But it's really great. I'm always surprised how such simple stories, you know, like, hero amnesia, doesn't know what happened to him, whatever, you know, goes and saves the world. Like, literally the same RPG story. How it can be so, like, captivating every time you play through one of these things. It's in the gameplay is the same. It's like turn-based RPG. And I'm still, like, hooked on all these, you know.
I mean, that I don't play video games for narrative. So when you say that, like, to me, it's, like, not that surprising because, like, how many video games are just get gun, shoot everything? I mean, like it's like that is 50% of video games at least, you know, and it's like it's still fun. It's just like, well, it's different kinds of shooting in this game. You know, it's like it's different kinds of shooting stuff. So,
but there's rideable slimes in this one.
Yeah.
It's true.
That game was very, very well received. So I'm not surprised to hear you say that. Like, I have not played I call it Dragon Warrior because that's how old I am. I haven't played a Dragon Warrior game since the 80s when I played 1 and 2 on NES. And
oh my God.
That will be the last time I play one of those because they are so boring to me. But I used to kill blue slimes with the best of them way back when I was a little kitty. but yeah, I don't know. Like, the only way I'm playing a Dragon Quest game these days is if I'm playing Smash Brothers and I download the DLC. That's all I can say.
Eli, you said you played the Pokemon DLC. I just started up Crown Tundra, but I haven't, like, really gotten anywhere in it. But have you played that part of it much?
Yeah, I missed the first DLC when it came out in the summer because I was really busy, but I ended up playing the first and the second one, like, all at once.
Nice.
And so the first one is the Isle of Armor. I think it's pretty bad. Like, for, like, a $20 piece of content, it's, like, 4 hours long or something. There aren't that many, like, cool... I mean, it's, like, more Pokemon, but, like, I already caught all of them, so I was actually looking forward to the content, not, like, the fact that you can catch more Pokemon that should have been there in the first place. So, I thought the first Isle of Armor. Did you play it, Matt? I thought did. It's really, yeah.
Yeah, I was kind of expecting, like, you're gonna get basically an extra gym and then whatever else around it, but it didn't really, like, it kind of did, but it didn't really feel like that because there's, like, the first time, I think you fight the gym master. You might have fought a couple of trainers and then, like, the quote-unquote, like, tower, which I thought was going to be, like, a gym worth. It was like, yeah, I don't know, you fight 3 trainers and then the same guy again. And I think by the end you fight him, like, mustered, like, 3 times or 2 times or something.
I was like, yeah. But the Crown Tundra is cool. Like, I feel like it's, you know, with all the legendaries, it's what you do. If you want me to be happy about things, just, you know, put fucking 40 legendaries into a game. It's going to keep me busy for a while because it's like there's so much craft to get. And these Pokemon are actually worth something. Unlike, like, the stupid, I don't know, Pidgey that they put in the first expansion pack. So,
yeah.
Like, yeah, it's pretty exciting. And, you know, the storyline's a little more ambiguous. It's, you know, they give you open world and rather than it go, you know, go A to B to C. It's actually very much more open worldy to discover the legendaries. And so I like it a lot better. What do you think so far, Matt?
I haven't, like, really gotten into it. I only played, like, I don't know, 20 minutes of it. But I am more interested in it just because they have like actual new Pokemon with the regional variant birds and some of the new legendaries for this region. So, because I've already caught technically the other legendaries for like my decks on Pokemon Home, so I don't even have to do the Dynamax stuff. I probably will a bit, but yeah, I'm more interested in like the new Pokemon they added and checking that out.
Why doesn't anyone ever ask me what I think of the Pokemon demo or whatever?
Yeah, when was the last time you picked up a Pokemon game, Clay?
When was the first?
I played that Pocket Monsters with my Dragon Warriors.
He's like, oh yeah. He's like, yeah, I played Pokemon Puzzle League on the 64, right? That's what you're talking about.
Nah, I played the only Pokemon game is I ever played is the one with the camera and the microphone.
Oh my gosh, I was gonna say that too.
You're making a new one.
Good job, Clay. At least you did something relevant in Urban recently.
It was boring. My review is it was boring.
Well, Clay, you'll be in luck because they're making a new Pokemon Snap game just for you.
I can get my microphone out. Oh, I sold it. Shoot.
Oh, I think he played Hey You Pikachu. Because that's the one with the microphone.
I don't even know if that's the right one. It's where the microphone is. And he's like, it doesn't work right. And you're like, go
and
over
then
there.
He electrocutes you for no reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a weird game for sure.
Yeah, I give it an 8 out of 10. Yeah. Anywho. Yes.
Nice. Just got to play some games in while you're busy in school.
Yeah, I'm glad that I was able to debrief because I won't touch a video game till. Actually, no, that's it. I'm lying because Thanksgiving break is coming up and the PS5 I've got pre-ordered. So,
Nice. Digital or regular?
The regular. But
nice. I thought I had regular and I have a digital pre-order and I'm like, I'm gonna have to sell this.
And this is gonna be kind of funny, but I'm paying for my PS5 with a political bet I made, like a big bet I made for Joe Biden.
If you think Eli, if you think you've won that bet, dude, you better walk it back, man, because the Supreme Court is gonna be involved in this, man.
Let me go ahead and knock on wood. But right now, it's looking very good.
Collect on that bet yet, dude. Honestly, I'm walking around every day assuming that bet might go south, dude. Like,
I'd say either way, the point is, are you going to be able to collect before it releases or not? That's all that matters.
Before anarchy. No. Yeah, I guess I made it on the website Predict It, which does most of the political betting in the U.S. Theoretically, if I can collect, then that'll pay for my PS5. And if not, then might have to wait to buy one for a while.
What would be the game that you would play first with it? Because I don't know how many games you're getting for it.
I don't know. Either Spider-Man or... I don't know. I think I have 3 games pre-ordered. Spider-Man, Assassin's Creed, and Little Big Planet. Or Sackboy's Adventure, or whatever they called it. So, wait. Does anyone else have a PS5 pre-ordered?
I don't.
Yeah, all digital ones. So, that's nice. Old eBay. You know, I need a disc, man. How am I supposed to play Sackboy's Adventure? Okay.
Your PS4, man.
Free if you have PlayStation Plus, by the way, Eli. So you have a free game when you hook it up. Because Bugsnax is free only for PS5 people for the first month, but PC and PS4 have to pay for it.
See, that's wild. I get to play Bugsnax, which is apparently banned in Saudi Arabia because bugs aren't kosher or something. I don't know.
Ooh, man, I mean, that might be game of the year, and they're missing out. So it feels bad.
Oh man. All right, so I think we'll move on to Mike. What have you been playing?
All right. So I finally got the Kingdom Hearts 3 DLC. It's called Remind. Now, it's supposed to be, you're supposed to rebeat the end of the game, which I was like, yo, I paid $30 to replay the exact game I beat, except now I'm OP because I got everything, because I got my plat like a year ago or two, whatever, a year and a half ago when the game released. And I'm like, this is stupid. Like, you legitimately fight the same bosses and all that stuff. And they're like, oh, we can play as the other character now. And I'm like, why would I do that when my character can kill these bosses in 3 seconds? So I was like, this is the biggest scam of all time. So then after you actually rebeat the game, then they unlock the hard bosses and all that. So you have to fight the real organization of 13. I killed 11 out of 13 so far over the last like 2 or 3 days. About 2 days. I'm on the last two now. So I've been doing that. It's pretty good. I mean, it's not worth $30, but I mean, I love Kingdom Hearts the series. I still think 3 is kind of a McAss, as you know, in layman's terms. But
like you say it, McAss.
Yeah, it's McAss. You know, it's on the dollar menu. It's pretty.
What kind of McDonald's are you going to, dude?
So the other thing is I've been playing. I'm playing with Mario Maker because I freaking love that. Okay, and then that's it. I've been playing Crash 4, which is probably the hardest game I've played in like the last 2 years. I would say it's definitely the hardest game I've played. I mean, if you really want in general, if you're gonna play the game regular, I'd say the game is like a 6 out of 10, and then to get everything, I would say it's like a 9 out of 10 hard. Like it's actually that difficult. I was talking about it with Phil the other day. And I've gone through so many levels, man. And it's like, oh, I got 210 out of 211 boxes. And I have no idea where it is because I'm a jackass. You know what I mean? And that's the way I could say it. And it's like so frustrating in that way. It's definitely fun. It doesn't have that certain French word, say je ne sais quoi or something like that. It's just missing. Yeah, it's just missing that. Like, you know, that magic that for me, Crash 3 Warped is my favorite. Crash 4 is a really good game. Honestly, if you have a PlayStation or if you like enjoyed any of the Crash games ever or just platforming in itself, I definitely recommend it. But I don't know. The things that they changed, well, the things that they add. One, they kind of like added way too many things, and the game runs actually higher than 1080p. It actually runs like 1440p, which is a cool fact. I didn't know that until I recorded it, and I was like, hey, this thing's 1440. But a problem is, one, the boxes aren't really vibrant. Like, you can't tell because they blend in. They use the same dynamic lighting. And I'm like, I can't find these boxes sometimes. Just, like, out of general graphics are too good or, like, it doesn't stick out. And then the other thing is, they decided to add... Oh, you go on.
I was going to say, I've noticed someone else was, like, I watched a review or something, and some of the boxes are, like, if you drop down a ledge, it's on the ledge, like, behind where the camera is. So it's like if you drop down a ledge, you won't see it, and it's on that level, and you have to go get it. So it's like that's kind of the kind of garbage moves they pull. But
yeah, it's a cheap way to extend the game. Okay, there's two cheap ways to extend the game. One, they added. So what I was going to go on is kind of what Matt was saying was the game is Crash Bandicoot is known for a fixed camera. You know, like everyone's like, oh, fixed camera platform, you run towards the camera or you side scroll. You know. But this game, they have a little bit of extra. You can nudge the right stick, and you can kind of look slightly ahead or around. There are so many hidden things that way, and it's so unnatural for me playing Crash. Like, I actually like Crash Wrath of Cortex, so playing Crash 1 through 4 and all that, like, the camera is not supposed to be like, there's some extra stuff over there. I'm like, no, they show me what there is. I possibly find secrets or alternative paths. But this game, you're supposed to actually do that, and it's the most unnatural thing. And it doesn't make the game terrible. It just kind of sucks, you know? I feel like it hurts more classic players than new players. Other than that, I think the challenges are fun. I do not like the idea where I don't like the alternate characters. I actually only like Dingo Dial. I think he's the only fun character that out of Tanya and, I mean, Tuana or whatever, and Cortex. Cortex is the worst of them all. But... yeah, it's just something about it. Like, it's a great game. Definitely a great game. I do recommend it. However, get ready to put mad hours into it. Like, I still haven't 100% of it, and I actually burnt myself out. So I'm just like, yeah, I'm playing everything else. So what's going on with that? Other than that, let's see. Just trying to think. I feel like I played some other stuff. I'm doing my regular Super Mario World hacks and Mario 64. I don't remember the last time I was here, but I did a Mario 64 randomizer. I wanted to do Ocarina of Time and Kingdom Hearts 2 randomizer because I think those are kind of cool, interesting, and a fun way to play a classic game that are like a game you like in a new style. I've always heard Link to the Past is the best one, but I don't really have the nostalgia for that. For me, that's a Game Boy Advance game. That's how I know Link to the Past isn't really my thing. But I did Battletoads. I got everything in that game. That game was dope. And yeah, I think that's about it for me.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well,
No questions about Battletoads? Wow, you guys are evil. All right.
Well, I didn't understand. Are you talking about a new Battletoads, or are you talking about, like, a randomizer?
No. New Battletoads, the one that came out.
Yeah, I vaguely knew it existed, but since I don't have a console to play that on. Yeah.
I didn't know what to expect. I love Battletoads. I've beaten the original Battletoads, but I didn't beat the Genesis one. I beat the SNES one, and I replayed the NES one, and then I beat Battletoads and Double Dragon. But then when I got this one, I was like, is it gonna be as good, or like our arcade beat 'em up still good? The thing is, the writing is really good in this game, and there's actually, it's not just a beat 'em up. There's only like 5 beat 'em up levels. There's a lot of like alternative stuff. And it's really unique and really funny. It's just the game is short, but if you have Xbox Game Pass, obviously it's, well, free, you know, like you have to pay for the Game Pass, but it's not like you're buying the game and all that. And right. I definitely recommend if anybody has an Xbox Game Pass, try it out. Obviously, it's a 3-player game. It's the best experience you can get, but it's really fun and it's really short. So,
yeah, I mean, like I like anyone of my age have fond memories of original Battletoads, no matter how hard and insane it is. Like, I actually don't own it. I must have borrowed it from someone when I was a kid. I have Battletoads and Double Dragon on SNES, which I don't like that much, but it's all right. Like I need to get a copy of original Battletoads and play it again, because I know it's notorious for being insanely stupid, hard, unfair, mm-hmm. especially in the rocket bikes and stuff. Yeah, I think I got past that stuff when I was a kid, honestly, but I'm not sure. Like I you know how it was when you're a kid. You got one game, you're gonna play it. You know, I just got to get a copy of it and see if my memory's wrong about that, or
it'll be wrong. I'm telling you, the wind tunnel with the first ones are pretty easy. It's the second jet bike one actually hard. Yeah. It's in like a volcano, like lava area. That is mad hard. But like the one got internet like meme. Like it's not as hard. You're gonna look at it and you'll be like, this wasn't that bad. But when you get to the next one, then you'll start sweating.
Right. Yeah, I don't think I ever beat it. That's what I can't remember. It's you know, it's literally 30 years, you know, so I'm like, I don't know. Like, I gotta get a copy sometime. It's just one of those ones I know is pretty good, so I'm sort of saving in the queue to collect it sometime again, you know, get a copy of it and mess around with it. It's classic.
I wasn't here for the 3D All-Stars one, but anyone else disappointed? I can't play them. I think I'm like Mario 64 is better on my N64. I never liked Sunshine.
Is that because like, the camera? Because I heard they only like recently updated it, so 64 you can have inverted automatically, and now you can have it like regular.
Yeah, you could have it. You could choose if you want it regular or inverted. I mean, it's not bad, but like again, it just, you know, goes back to like the point. It wasn't really that was doing it for me. Like I've come to realize. And it's what I said with, you know, why we can't have Galaxy 2 either. It's like Galaxy is the best version of that, but you still have to play it like it's a Wii, because I'm just not in. I'm enjoying Galaxy, but I'm not enjoying the other two. But the thing is, I'm not enjoying them at all as much on the go / handheld. Like, I think all right, but I feel like Galaxy is better if I play it on my TV and I use my Wiimotes as. You know, my Joy-Cons is a pseudo Wiimote nunchuck kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that would be the problem also with Galaxy 2. Like, you can't be like, oh, I'm going to touch the screen and do this. Like, you can't do that because that's how Yoshi works. Yoshi works with touchscreen controls and stuff. He doesn't work like a regular platformer, which is why Mario Odyssey 1 worked, because there's a lot of regular platforming sections and you're just getting extra star bits. But it feels like a hassle to get the star bits when I'm playing on handheld, which kind of sucks because you need them if you want to get everything.
Right. That's an interesting segue, because like that's what I was playing a lot for, like, you know, I've already talked about Ghostbusters earlier, but I was playing Sunshine. I just finished like 2 days ago, not 100%, because I'm not going to deal with some of the bullshit that it makes you go through to get 100% in that game. And I've already done it when I was younger, like back when it came out originally. But like, I want to, like, you know, I know Mike's going to jump on this. Like, I'm not in any way walking back my love for Mario Sunshine, but I can see the flaws with it now better. I still think it's a really fun Mario game, but a lot of people always say, oh, it feels like it was rushed, or, you know, it's not as polished. I don't know. You know, I'm not going to make a theory about that. I feel like that's trendy to always be like, oh, it was rushed. That's why it's not as good. I don't know. I'm not going to pretend to be able to tell. But there are levels and challenges in it that are so stupid hard or based on some like kind of semi-random element or just insanely difficult for a Mario game, not in terms of platforming, but just that you can't find stuff you need, that I found myself getting frustrated with it, admittedly, at points. There are, especially in the Hotel Delfino level, which is one of the final ones, there are puzzles in it that there are two specific puzzles that I spent a solid half hour trying to figure out what to do. And this is a Mario game where you should not be like banging your head against a wall. Like, how do I like do this challenge? Like, I've gone everywhere there is to go and there's nothing to do. And I'm just running around the level and having to end up Googling like how to solve a level I solved like 20 years, you know, whatever, 15 years ago, whatever, when I played it the first time. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember the solution. And there's polish elements with it. And then there are just challenges that are so insanely hard, but they're not fun hard, like where you feel like you're not doing them because you're good at Mario, like Star Road type stuff. Like, there's a challenge where you have to ride a Yoshi out into the ocean, transfer across two boats and go down a pipe out in the middle of the ocean to go do one of the challenges. And then it's a hard challenge. And if you die, this still won't matter. It sends you back to the mainland and you have to spend another half hour getting back out. Well, 10 minutes.
That's in the hub world. I know. But for me, I think the problem with Sunshine became the new Majora's Mask. It's also another reason why I hate it. It's always like, oh, this game is rushed, but it's so great, underappreciated. It's like, yeah, how about you actually play it like more than like an hour and you'll realize. But like, I'm not saying it's ass, but I'm just saying like it became the next month. It became Mario's Majora's Mask.
Mm-hmm. I never perceived it though. I always feel like a lot of people don't like it. Like, I guess that's interesting. Like, I, now that I finished it, like I'd say I'm like 80. I didn't do any 100 coin challenges because that's just boring. I don't feel like collecting 100 coins because really it's just like a fetch quest basically.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know how many blue coins are in the game. I got tons, but I didn't get them all. And I'm too shine short. What was that?
I think it's like 200 something. I don't remember.
Yeah, I got like 120, 130 without even trying hard. So it's like, I figured there's a lot, but like, I'm just done with it. Like, I finished it, saw the credits roll, and I have two shines. I think I only need one shine. And then that hub world one that you're talking about, like the Yoshi one, I'm just not going to do it. Because like,
Point either. Like, that was the thing. I kind of like lost that like mindset recently too. I was like, oh man, I'm not having fun. It's freaking, you know what I mean? I'm like forcing myself to do some shit, and I'm like, I had to take a step back and stuff. Yeah. That's what Crash 4 did to me. I was like, I wasn't enjoying any game because I was forcing myself to get like all these gems and stuff, and it sucked. Like, it sucked out.
Yeah, it's like Mario Sunshine is like inches away from being a great top shelf Mario, and it's got just a couple little pieces to it that are like, damn it, like take it back to the drawing board and fix that pachinko machine level, you know, like or something, you know, like things like that where you're like, no, it's so close. I actually don't mind that one. I know a lot of people hate on the pachinko level, but like there's the one level in the amusement park where you have to climb up inside the machine on the back side of it and then get up on the roof to get the sun sprite is so insanely difficult because the camera is so broken that you can hear the frustration in my voice right now. Like, I got so mad at it that I'm like, this is only hard because the camera's broken. Because every time I jump, it moves and doesn't stay stationary where I put it, you know? And it's like, and now I can't see because the camera's behind a wall and I'm trying to jump through the air onto another platform when the camera moves. And that's the kind of stuff that like knocks it down a couple pegs where you're like, this definitely is a good Mario game with an asterisk that people should know going into it. Like, don't kill yourself over trying to figure out how to solve Hotel Delfino. Just like Google it and then
play the other one. Or
I didn't start Galaxy. I'm gonna start Galaxy a little bit, and I don't feel like really playing Mario 64 again right now because I just played it on N64 like last year.
The worst version of it. Like, that was the only other game I played. You reminded me because you said that I played all of Super Mario 64 DS recently. The reason why I played it, or if you guys check it on the channel, was somebody released a, I don't want to say a mod, but they released a program. So if you played it through an emulator, they actually emulated it emulates a full 360 stick and all that. So I had full regular control over Mario. And actually, I had better control than Mario 64 because the camera was my right stick. So I had full 360-degree camera, which is really cool. So that was like the first time I remember playing a Mario 64 game with, you know, a free range camera. The problem with the game, I realized, because I was like, holy crap, this might be the best version of Mario 64, because now I'm playing the DS version. I have 30 extra stars, more levels, 3 extra characters, and I have technically better control because now I have 360 camera and I can sprint everywhere I want. Problem in the DS one was people, you only walk, you have to hold wide to run, and you had a shitty camera. And you don't go 360 degrees, you go 8 degrees because you're on a D-pad. So the problem with the game, actually, I realized when I played the DS one, was everything is too small, or it's too easy to break and cheese. Mario's too good in that game. Luigi is too good in that game. There's no point of playing any other character once you get them. Like, Luigi, I skipped so many puzzles, but Mario, his triple jump is so high. It's like, I'm telling you, it's basically, they make everything smaller, but they made Mario and Luigi better. So they could reach heights they never could in the original game. And so it doesn't have the same challenge. And that's where I realized where 64DS went wrong. Not just its controls, because now that's not a problem for me. It's more the game is just, the game is too tiny. You know what I mean?
I never played it on there. That's interesting. Because, I mean, N64 Mario, people forget, is hard. Like, it's got challenge. Because, like, it's a little bit of a mix of camera problems and, like, just being a first-time 3D platformer. And, like, you know, like lava and different stuff in different levels. Like, I find it challenging, not unfair, but challenging, you know. And it's like, I can see them doing that too if they're going to re-release it. That they realize that they're like, this is for the DS audience, and they were trying to aim that at kids. And they were like,
it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. Like, I mean, I like it. Like, it's cool. Like, the models are better, everything looks better, but it's just, it's not Mario 64. It's just too easy because Mario's too good.
I'm guessing part of that had to be the D-pad. It just isn't really meant to have that kind of precision to it versus like a joystick. So it's like, well, you can go in 8 directions and it doesn't really, you can't really move through them as like a joystick.
That's a fair point, man. Like, you weren't expecting me to use a program that made it, you know, that made me use an actual stick. So it's like, you know, this guy has perfect regular Mario 64 controls in the DS version of the game, and it's like, oh, okay. But yeah, that's my segue. Sorry it took a little while.
That was neat. Yeah, I noticed you played that some time ago. It's cool that someone made it at least.
Yeah, no, it really is. I can't believe like it wasn't like more widespread known. I did, people who are looking to play DS games and hate touch style controls. I did play Phantom Hourglass and Spirit Tracks with a D-pad, actually. No, because those games are famous for you can only play them with a touchscreen. I mean, anyone's a Zelda fan would know that. So I refused to play them for the longest time. But there's a D-pad mod out where you get the original ROM and you use this D-pad mod. You merge them together to create a whole new ROM. And it's just called, you know, Spirit Tracks D-pad or Phantom Track D-pad. And I was like, wow, these games are pretty good. You know, just I got to play them with normal controls. But, you know, those are things that were never available like until this day and age, which is, you know, always cool. So it's always cool to see creators out there trying to help people like play their favorite game or do other play it in other ways that are more accessible.
Yeah. Although I still say you're a wimp because the touch controls on those games isn't all that bad. It's mostly like
it's moving, and then
you just like touch to sword slash. So.
Yeah, but it's so much nicer moving the D-pad wide and freaking slash. I'm like, ooh, this feels good.
There wasn't really a reason to use touch controls other than they had it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was mostly just, I think, drawing on the map and then, like, the boomerang. Like, the boomerang is really the only one that actually needs it. I think the rest were, like,
just normal. The boomerang's really cool. I actually like that. So the cool thing, I don't know if you guys ever use the DS emulators, you can use your mouse for the touchscreen. You can use your right stick. We also have to hit a button. But so it was like, anytime I did the boomerang thing, I just used my mouse, drag with the way I wanted. And it's like, yo, this is awesome. So like, I think it's cool. I think there's a fair chance for DS games to like kind of exist in that emulated like future kind of thing. Like, obviously, you should own the game, guys. I have a crappy ass Phantom Hourglass. I just never touched it ever until I got this. So.
Nice. Unalclay, did you play anything else or
We can leave it there. We've been going on a long time. Sure. I've played lots of other things, lots. But yeah, Ghostbusters and Mario I talked about. So that's good.
Cool. So let's head off to some...
Yeah, but the Hyrule Warriors, you know, we want to know how sleepy it made you.
I'll get that to that in a minute. One other thing I wanted to notice or note was there's a rumor that Level 5's future games might be Japan only. It comes from Game Industry, that's a website, saying that the North American and other international offices started closing down last August, so like a year and a bit ago, and that apparently there are currently no concrete plans for any more Level 5 games to be released outside of Japan. So in terms of North America, that's mostly like the Professor Layton games, Ni No Kuni, which there's only like technically two games anyway, Yo-Kai Watch, and I don't know how popular Inazuma is. Probably not so much in North America. I'm sure in Europe it is because it's a soccer game.
Okay, well, I mean, Yo-Kai Watch is really big, but bigger in Japan. Ni No Kuni has an app game coming out only for Japan, I've heard, but it might come to America or Europe or whatever. I mean, most phone games go worldwide. But Professor Layton hasn't had a new game in what? Non-app game.
Actually wrote it down. The Layton series has only had one game in the last 7 years, while there were eight games in the previous 6 years before that.
Whoa.
So
that's Lady Layton, I presume?
Yeah.
Okay. What, Lady Layton is 7 years old? Are you kidding me? What? That's crazy.
I think it's the only game of the last 7 years. Yeah. Right? There was a break in the middle after the last Layton game. It was ported to Switch, and it's on mobile devices, right? So, I don't know. I'm super disappointed. I love Level 5 games. I've played a lot of them. Ni No Kuni, and I mean, Yo-Kai Watch seemed like it was going down. The first one did pretty well in America, and I think the second one did okay. So it didn't look like it was doing great here in the U.S. And in Japan, it's past its prime. Yo-Kai Watch is still sell decently, but from what I understand, it's not nearly as much as of a behemoth as it used to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just unfortunate. Like, I guess other than that, you know, we had Ni No Kuni 2 here, 2 years ago, something like that?
Yeah, something like that. I mean, it didn't do that well anyway, but, you know, granted, a lot of people knew that Studio Ghibli wasn't helping on that one like they did for the first Ni No Kuni. So it was like that could have affected it, you know, like it didn't have that same hype behind it. But I mean, Professor Layton is kind of a loss, though. I mean, Eli always talked about Professor Layton games. Like, it feels like it's a staple of the DS along Phoenix Wright. You know, we wouldn't have that crossover in a 3DS. But, it's just not as relevant. And obviously, we're not buying it. So, if anything, it'll come to EU. And then, guess what? Even though it's not going to. And then we'll just buy it because what's the word I'm looking for when you can buy any game and play it anywhere?
It's region free.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, technically, Brain Age is region free. But, you know, we still haven't got it. So, freaking Europe. I love that game.
He likes training his brain for 5 minutes a day.
Yeah, for 5 minutes a day, all right? Dr. Kawashima.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an unfortunate given, you know, how revered the studio is. But we'll have to see. Who knows what'll change. Maybe they'll break for a few years and then come back. Or still technically a rumor, I guess. But, I don't think plausible. It seems plausible. Because some of those big games that they're known for aren't selling so much, or in terms of Layton case, they haven't even made one in forever, which is surprising. I don't know why that's the case. I mean, did Layton not sell well or something, and then they just blew it off?
Well, it was only there's two iOS games. I know this because I was like, I got into Layton finally at last year. And I was like, you know, Eli always talked about these games and Matt played them. So I totally jumped full ship on Layton. And I played the first three or whatever. And I watched like some of the anime. But I was like, let me see what's new. Oh, that's why. Because they re-released Layton first one on iPhone. And that's what happened. Because Lady Layton was always on iPhone. There was Layton's brother also on Android. You know, iOS and Google Play Store. And I don't think those did well at all, but it felt like Lady Layton was like a reboot, and it also got its own anime as well, and it actually had Professor Layton and teasing in it and all. It was like, oh crap, Professor got, you know, he got kidnapped, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not going to spoil. But it just never felt like it was like, I don't want to say real. It never felt like it was like serious. Like, it felt like after, I think maybe the third or fourth Layton, like maybe the first 3DS one, like they kind of ran out of steam. And the other thing I was going to say that's important to know is, yeah, if you ever look up like a guide or anything, there's two different guides, because if you play it, like not, there's three different, because if you play a US run versus a UK one, you get, there's like six or seven different puzzles. And then there's also the Japanese one, which is completely different because, you know, you have to translate these puzzles and you have to make them in three different styles to, you know, associate for three different languages, grammar structure, all that other stuff. So you got to think about like stuff like that as well.
Weird. It's a shame. It's a unique part. I mean, Inazuma, I played one of the Inazuma games too. It was really good. You know, these are quality games. Recently, I guess maybe less so, but it's a shame to lose it because it had, you know, this niche part of the market of high quality. And by high quality, I guess I just mean like AAA-ish Japanese games. And as it is, you know, we've seen a reduction in Japanese developing capacity that's making it to the U.S., you know, as Western games have taken over a lot of the industry. And, you know, losing a big player like this is just kind of a shame.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I guess we'll move on to the Direct Mini Partner Showcase. What a mouthful that is. Jeez. First thing I want to notice is they said it's the last Direct Mini Partner Showcase for the year. I don't know that that's necessarily going to... I don't think that's... Sorry, I was reading a chat for a second. I don't think that means that's the last news they'll do this year, but I think that just means of this particular showcase, which is third-party games. Obviously, that's the last. I don't know that they'll do their own Nintendo Direct. I don't think so, because they haven't for such a long time. They'll probably just either spit out Twitter news or just some other video thing, or just like, here's a specific direct on a specific game or something. So I think they will do one other thing. I could be wrong on that, but yeah, it doesn't look like they're going to do any more third party news for the year. I don't think there's really much else to say for the rest of the year at this point, in like October, November. Like, I doubt you have any other big surprising things coming.
I mean, the really surprising thing is the cloud stuff, and I think that's where we have potential to get more news out of, right? Like, I don't know if anyone's tried one of the cloud games, Control, or gosh, I forgot what the second one was.
Hitman 3. It doesn't come out yet.
Oh yeah, I don't know if anyone's had a chance to try Control yet, but that seems like it would be a place where more games could potentially get announced.
Yeah, so let's get into that. So that was actually the first piece anyway. So apparently Control, you can actually download it and test it out on your connection first without paying for it to see if it works, which I think if these cloud games are going to happen more, or even if they're not going to happen that much, they should do, because, you know, how good the game runs depends on your connection, because it's independent of your actual hardware. So I would hope they would do that. So, I mean, I guess that's good that they're at least doing that. And I don't know, how do you feel? How do you guys feel about them making cloud versions of games versus ports or not having them?
I'm as negative as Mike usually is about almost anything. No, I call me old, whatever you want to say. I don't know. I'm refusing.
Old.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. I asked for it. I'm like spluttering.
He's flabbergasted. Every idea.
You want me to pay a significant amount of money to rent a game? Because that's what you're saying. You're just not calling it that. You're calling it cute things like season pass or whatever. And I'm like, you want $40 for me to rent this game from you? Like, for real? Like, that's literally where my brain just, I'm like, $40 to rent it? Like, if it was $10, okay. Or maybe a different pricing model, like $5 a month, okay. But the idea that I'm going to pay you near to the full cost of a video game and not get to own it permanently, like, no. Like,
Wait, how long is that? Is the rental for ownership, or is that just like you mean for the extent that you pay for?
Is you pay, and then when they take it away, they take it away, and you have no say over it. I mean, is that what you're asking me to clarify?
Oh, like, so you're calling the licensing, just general digital games, a rental.
Well, it's not normally, not for a non-streaming game. I mean, I own the games. Yeah, yeah. I know there's that like clause about do I own like a digital file on my Switch, but I effectively do. Because if I take my Switch and don't ever connect to the internet again, I own it, it's mine, they're never taking it away. I know there's like weird clauses about that kind of in the ether these days about like, do you really own anything, you know, that you downloaded? And it's like,
the answer is no.
I know, but that, I mean, it's different. You know what I mean? Like, you have it, and so take it away from me. You know what I mean? Like, it's you know, it's just talking like about
digital evil games right now.
Yeah. Well, talking about streaming, whether because I'm negative. I mean, like, I'm just like, I can't believe it. Like, because what really concerns me is like what feels like they're doing is like they're saying in this case, well, these games can't run on Switch, so they're not coming any other way. And I respect that. And if I thought that's where it ended, like, I wouldn't have as much of a concern. Like, I'd be like, okay, well, that makes sense. Like, but I feel like this is sticking the toe in the water for the bright new future of, like, every game is going to be a game you stream, and then you don't own anything anymore. And when they take the server offline, your old Switch or Switch 19 or whatever the heck the next system is doesn't even have games on it anymore. Like, that, maybe I'm being alarmist, but it just, it smells bad to me. I'm like, wait a second. I want to own the game. Simple. I want to own it. If I'm going to pay you that much money, I want to own it. Like I said, it's the price point that really gets me. I'm like, if this was $10 to like get, like, you know, like Outer Limit, like $10 like a month to play Control. Well, I'd say, okay, maybe I will, because I'll play it in 1 month, and $10 is, you know, maybe I'll sneak into month two and pay 20, but then that's it. And I don't feel that bad about that. But the idea of paying $40 and then not getting to keep it forever, and then in 10 years, if I want to play it again, you know, or 5 years or a year, I, you know, and I don't have it, like, you gotta be kidding me. I don't know. Like, I you know, and I know there's other models out there and other experiments with this going on in gaming, but I'm a little disheartened to see it like so abruptly arrive on Switch and like kind of like, hey everybody, this is what we're doing now. You know, if you want to play AAA, you're gonna have to like rent it. Like, so I don't know. So, what do other people think? I feel free to disagree, you know.
Like, I just think it's interesting, because for me it's like I viewed it the opposite. Not like, oh, this is the first step to you know, cloud-based gaming on the Switch forever. It was pretty much the way they sold it is like, yeah, this wouldn't run on the Switch, which I believe, because it actually has like problems running on the PS4. Yeah. So I guess I understand that there are like these portals or whatever. I don't know what you'd call them. You can just like beam in the game to your TV without any sort of hardware required. But that market, which I guess is a threat actually directly to Nintendo and PlayStation, not, I would say, Microsoft, because they're adapting pretty quickly to this, is not a path that they want to go down. Like, Nintendo has a pretty large stake, as does PlayStation, in continuing to sell hardware. So I think they're actually would probably have an incentive to be really vigilant against moving to an all cloud based platform. Once again, I think Xbox, they've got their own cloud based platform now. I don't think they care. They clearly don't care about the hardware anymore. But at least for PlayStation and Nintendo, they have huge incentives to continue having the current regime.
Yeah, I guess it's the price point, if anything. Like, that's the first thing that goes off for me. The other stuff is maybe me rationalizing my objection. I mean, no, that's not fair. Like, I think I fear that that's where everyone's going to push us, because they love it. It's like me looking at big business and seeing something like a dark side of it. They love it when you download a game because you can't resell it. And, you know, you can't share it. And it means everyone who wants to play a game has to buy their own copy. And they love that. And this is another form of that. So they like it in that way. It's like, well, if we and then that's the price point that really bugs me. That's, they kind of go hand in hand. And I'm like, you don't get to charge me that much for something I don't get to keep. Like, I just, you know, that's like telling me that, you know, a movie you know, I'm going to have to start paying, like, you know, like $30 to get into a movie.
You don't like the Disney model of pay $20 for a subscription service and then pay, like, another $30 on top for a movie?
Since I don't subscribe to that garbage, no, I don't know about that, and that sounds awful.
They did that with Mulan, and then, like, after a month, they're like, people aren't buying it.
You know, Clay, what I would say is sometimes these companies have to be dragged through with some sort of regulation. I actually think... I feel strongly that the government should have a regulation that requires companies to allow you to resell digital goods. I think it's actually kind of abhorrent that the government has not created digital property rights. Because right now, you know, it's all through contract. When you buy a digital game, pretty much the terms and conditions or whatever you sign off is like, you actually don't own this product. Right. And I definitely think there should be laws in place that require marketplaces like Steam to allow for the resale. Like, fine, allow some sort of 20% commission fee or whatever, you know, the law would have for the platform. But yeah, I definitely agree with you, Clay, that unfortunately Nintendo, right, is never going to do this on their own. Steam would never do that. They have a stake. Actually, not Steam. Steam doesn't care as long as they can collect a royalty. The actual game developers have a stake in not having resale. So I would be totally okay with some sort of regulated regime where you could resell digital goods. And maybe the original developer can take some sort of cut. Maybe the, you know, the platform can take a cut. But really, we need stronger digital ownership property rights. So agree.
Yeah. All right. Well, then... Thank God we're going to be the ones in charge, not the old men running Congress who will get right on this pressing issue of digital rights, which like 80% of those people, they would never know what we're talking about.
Free digital game.
Well, honestly, this will be the last thing I say before I head out. But this is why, I don't know if you saw after the election, the tech stock skyrocketed because they were afraid if there would be unified Republican control that you would have regulation from the Republicans because they think that there's digital censorship, you know, from the big tech companies could block conservative views. So they were afraid they would get regulation from conservatives because of that. The Democrats, meanwhile, want regulation on monopoly. They think the tech conglomerates are too big and need to be broken up. Facebook should be broken up with WhatsApp and whatever other services and Instagram that they own. So you've got two big parties that want to regulate them in different ways. And as soon as the tech companies saw that it's actually going to be split government, they realized there would be no regulation from either the conservatives or the liberals. So all the tech stocks shot up because they knew there was nothing coming their way.
That and nothing gets done no matter who's in charge. But I hear you. I see what you're saying.
So it's kind of a funny coincidence.
Yeah, it is a funny coincidence.
Anyway, I gotta head out. It's been really nice talking with you all.
Eli, man, good to hear from you, man. Good luck on the midterms or finals coming up for you, bro.
Thanks, I appreciate it. Talk to you later.
See ya.
Stay real, bro. Thank God he's gone now.
Oh, man, bringing that guy right now. I love that dude.
So Matt, you didn't really have much to say about it. Like, what's your take on the streaming of the game?
Yeah, I'm kind of like on the same page as you are, where it's like what you're offering, you have to price what you're offering accordingly. Right. And I didn't even know what the price was because I didn't check it up. And the eShop page online anyway just says free download to like start it. $40 is way too much for a game that you don't even have a file for. Pretty much what you're saying. And I don't think that this necessarily is going to lead to a cloud future. If anything, like it's going to be Microsoft or Google, even though Stadia isn't really doing well now. But like those bigger companies are definitely going to push it if anything happens. Like these couple games on Nintendo really aren't. I would agree that these games that are getting cloud versions on the Switch, like they probably couldn't really make a Switch version that would both look decent and also play equivalently. Like I think it would just not work out that well. There's games that are less demanding that still have issues on Switch. So this game that's having problems on PS4, like definitely isn't gonna, you know, work well on Switch. Hitman 3 seems a little weird because it's like, really, like, I'm pretty sure there's not a ton of physics going on, like, in Control, so I don't know why you couldn't make an actual version of that.
Yeah.
But, so that one seems a bit stupid to me. But, yeah, I don't think it's going to be a big trend on Switch to have all these cloud games. I think it's going to be the very few outliers that are actually going to come over. Yeah. And I think companies probably don't want to do like move over to cloud versions as like a default for Switch, because I'm sure it will. I don't think the consumer base of the Switch.
I'm not necessarily worried about Switch. Like, to be clear. Okay.
Well, yeah, I just want to say
I'm worried about the future. Like, that this is like, let's like dip our toe in the water and like get them used to it. And this is one of those things where like my political side kicks in. I'm like, we got to shut this down. Like, before this takes off, like, before you make it normal for us to pay $40 for a game we don't get to keep, like, you know, that it's as simple as that, you know. And the funny thing is, like, I have my breaking point like anyone else. Like, if you told me Resident Evil 7 was, like, going to be streamable, I might bite. Because, like, yeah, I don't have any plan to buy a PS5 or a PS4 even, or some other console I could play it on, but I'd like to play it. And it's like, I have a breaking point. Like, Control, I watched a video of, and I realized it looks boring to me. Like, the kind of game I'd probably be bored of, like, after not very long, because it's kind of like your guided adventure 3D world type game with a lot of story. And I'm like, oh, a lot of those things bore me. So that, like, actually right away, I was like, I don't even think I want to play the demo. Like, watching this, I'm like, this just looks boring to me, kind of. Mm-hmm. And Hitman, you know, shrug. I'm neither here nor there on, you know. Like, if someone told me a reason I'd want to play it, maybe, but there's nothing there that grabs me. So it's like, maybe I'm speaking out my ass right now, because like, when a game I want to play, you know, comes along, then I'll somehow rationalize it. You know, I'll be like, well, $40 is a lot, but I'm never going to play it, you know, if I don't, you know, so I don't know.
Yeah. I would say, so a lot of people are like, oh man, digital only future is coming faster and whatever. But, you know, the same people also said, oh man, we're going to not have people were saying, oh, the PS4 generation wasn't going to have disc consoles, and that, you know, at some point people were saying, oh, smartphone games of the future and consoles are dead, even though, you know, PS4 is selling more than the last generation.
Right.
So I think a lot of these people who are making all these sorts of predictions are, I don't know, sniffing their farts a bit too much. Whether they have stakes in it or not, it just seems like wishful thinking, I guess, on their part, or I don't even know if they want it, but I think they're kind of rushing to those conclusions too much, whether that becomes a reality or not. Because the other thing people don't factor in is, you know, other countries. Like, sure, let's say the United States or North America, everyone has gigabit internet and it's amazing. Well, guess what? If the other countries aren't like that, they're going to have a reason to produce disc-based consoles, because if they can't sell those, you know, digital versions or streaming options in other countries, they're not just going to drop all those countries.
Right.
You know, even if it's not their main market, they're not going to be like, oh, well, I guess we'll just focus on North America and, you know, screw everything else. I mean, there's like not every new generation, but the last couple of generations, you've seen, Nintendo is opening in China for the first time in X amount of years, or, you know, someone is opening up in some other Eastern European country for like the first time in forever, right? So all these companies are always willing to expand their markets. They're not going to shut them off. So I think the demand for disc-based consoles is still going to be around for a lot longer than people give credit, because they're not going to abandon it unless the majority of the global audience, like, that's actually feasible, where they could cut them off, and then it's like, oh well, the remaining bit won't matter as much,
right?
So I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon.
Yeah
I think there's like a market for like,
you're probably right,
the consoles and smartphones.
I'm a big believer in like voting with my dollars a little bit, and this is one of those cases where it's like, if I can resist it, I'm going to, because I want to vote with my dollars against it and say, like, nope, like, you're not getting me with this. Like, am I shooting myself in the foot with some stupid attitude like that? Well, yeah, I would be if I really, really cared about the game. But, like, in this case, it's not that hard of a sell for me. Like I said, if it was some other game, like if Metal Gear 5 or something, like one of the really AAA games that I'm curious enough about that I'd want to play some of it, was offered up and they said $40 1 year, and I was like, for some reason, like, tempted, you know, then maybe I'd flex, you know, and try it out. Like, you know, like the funny part about it is something that Eli was saying before, like, where it's like that, it's like, well, for people who don't, like, who only have one option and it's the Switch or whatever to play it on. And it's funny because, like, I was thinking to myself, but the funny thing about this, in a way, I don't think I have a fully formed thought on this, but like, that it's a weird thing because you have to be connected to the internet. So you have to be home. So that's going to, like, right away mean a lot of people don't have any use for this, because it's like, if you want to play Control, you're at home. And therefore, like, this vast percentage of people are going to have another way to play it besides Switch. So it's like the whole point of getting it on a Switch is kind of weird, mm-hmm. and, like, limits the market heavily, because, like, why wouldn't you play a game like that where you can A, own it, and B, it's going to look better, and C, you know, like, it just every part of the experience is going to be better if you have to play it at home. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, it seems odd when you think about it that way. You're like, huh, like, how many people really are in that Venn diagram of only console they have? Like, I am, and that's what's weird about it. I am, but that's self-imposed. Like, I have way too many video games to play already. And I probably have 15 video game consoles in this house. Like, they just all happen to be old, you know? And it's like, but I have too many games. So I'm in that weird Venn diagram of, like, people who, like, would be the suitable audience for it. But I really, you know, maybe that's why they're testing it, because they're like, does this fly for Nintendo? Or is it, like, a pointless gesture? Because, like, how many people are going to really do this? Like, how many people are going to really bother to pay $40 to play a premium AAA game when they could wait a month and buy Control for $40 at GameStop for another console?
Yeah, you know, you have to only have a Switch. Your internet has to be good enough for it to be, you know, work well, or well, right, to what you find acceptable, and then also. Maybe I'm prejudiced or whatever, but for some reason I'm thinking, like, this is going to sound stupid, but I would say that the majority of the audience owning a Switch is the quote-unquote, like, normie audience, and I'm not sure that they would want to pay for a game that they don't actually have or can't, like, use portably.
Right.
Because, like, that's the reason why people are buying the Switch. They're like, oh man, I can play it on the TV or the couch or whatever. I can
play Animal Crossing
on the toilet. Like, oh, yeah. Well, you know, when you have, if you're a family and you have three kids and everyone's on the internet and you're trying to play this one game, and because everyone's using it, someone's on Netflix, someone's on YouTube, someone else is playing on Skype or whatever, and it's like, oh crap, I can't play this game because all these other services are running and my internet isn't, you know, amazing. Right.
Plus, you have to be almost like, there's an age bias here. It's a $40 game, so you almost have to be an adult, or you have to have a really generous adult in your life that wants you to, like, to buy you this game. Mm-hmm. Because, like, this isn't like, hey mom, can I buy this $5 game, you know, or something like that. This is like teens and up pricing, you know. So it is a mature game, like in the question of both these games. So I guess that's built into the plan there. So I guess it's not really an issue. It's like, yeah, like, little kids aren't probably, like, clamoring to play Control. They're like, hell, I got Fortnite already. What else do I need? You know, am I right? Yeah. But it's also that price point, like, boxing a lot of people out of the market, you know, too, that it's like a parent's going to be like, $40, you wait for your birthday, you know, or whatever, you know, that kind of thing. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Well, we beat this to death. Mike, you're probably anti, I'd imagine. Is Mike there? Did we lose Mike?
I think we beat Mike to death.
Did Mike fall asleep? Mike.
His icon's there. Yeah. But
let's see Mike's neck. Let's
move
just
on.
Mike's neck.
Move on.
Here, I'll do a Mike imitation. I want to be fair about this, but let's be honest. This fucking sucks. Miyamoto, you suck. All right? Like, am I right? Control, not playing it. Indie, whatever. If that didn't wake him up.
That well, would definitely be his answer. Great stuff, great stuff. All right, what else? The next piece was, it's not even, whatever, I'll just briefly mention it. No More Heroes 1 and 2 HD are coming to the Switch, are already on the Switch. I did some sleuthing because I was interested, because I knew there were a couple of versions of this game. And by comparing one of the scenes, I figured out that the Switch version is an HD version of the Wii version, not the PS3 version, which had some other stuff. But it turns out, I was talking to some people who have played the games before and were fans of the series, that that's not really a big deal. Some felt that the aesthetics from the Wii, like the darkened outlines that kind of gave it a comic-ish look, was kind of lost in the PS3, and the majority of the new stuff in the PS3 was like the No More Heroes 2 bosses, which obviously you don't need because they have a full game there. So it doesn't seem like it's a loss of much or really anything that they're basing it off the Wii version. I thought it was just interesting to look at comparatively. But yeah, that's
right.
It's neither here nor there. I just wanted to bring that up.
You played at least one of these, right? If not both.
No, I haven't.
Oh, you haven't?
No.
Do they have demo? Mr. Demo King, have they released demo?
No,
they have not.
But actually, I was surprised. They're pretty cheap. They're only like $20 to $25, and that's my currency. So
yeah,
I'm kind of surprised. So I'll probably pick up, I don't know, the first one before I play the third. I'll probably skip the second one.
There is a story. Yeah, there is a story. I mean, like, it's not that deep of a story, but there is a story, and it makes more sense if you care, which the story's kind of important to play one first. It's a toss-up for what game you might like better.
I think based off of what you said, where the second is the boss rush and the first is kind of a bit more open, I'd prefer to play the one that's more open because,
yeah,
I mean, first, obviously, the first game in a series is going to set everything up, so it would make more sense. But I just prefer that versus just, well, here's a boss rush thing. It's like, eh.
Yeah. It's a lot.
It won't really get you involved in, like, the world as much as, you know, running around in this world. It's especially because like, 3 is going to have, like, an open-ish area anyway. So it's like, why... It would make more sense to jump from 1 to 3 than 2 to 3. And that's
the only strike against that plan is that the open world aspect of it is not very good compared to modern standards. It's like
I don't expect it to be big. I basically expect a hub. Like that's all I'm thinking.
It's a hub where you drive around making money at like mini games, and then the second one they just took out the open world and you just jump straight to the mini games, or you jump, you know, or you do a boss fight. You know, and it's like, it doesn't make it bad. It makes it sound bad, but it's like the story does matter for No More Heroes. There's a cool, bizarre, Suda type, you know, narrative going on. And so, like, I think I still would say, but it is a coin flip. It's a little bit like Bayonetta 1 versus Bayonetta 2, where you're like, they're both great. They're not that
they're both terrible.
You know,
I was just gonna ask if you were there. Of course, when you bring up Bayonetta, that's what really revives them.
Come on,
you're like, whoa, Bayonetta! I gotta.
They're both terrible. They're terrible in different ways. I got you, Clay. I can finish this.
I couldn't bait him with all the other stuff.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious.
But yeah, the only reason why people should get No More Heroes 3 is because he turned into a robot / Gundam at the end. That is the only reason why I'm getting that game. All right, that is the only reason. No More Heroes 2 was so bad it didn't deserve a 3. But you know what? It's fine.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. I like. You didn't play very far into it.
It's very anime, and
you guys like anime. I mean, both episodes are very anime and very comic booky, and like it just goes over the top. I mean, it just gets bizarre and demented, and like the story is funny, and that's, you know me, like that, if I'm going to care about a story, it better be funny, you know? And it's like, try it out, Matt. Yeah. I mean, it's, they're interesting games for sure. They really are Suda, you know,
is there a deal if you buy 1 plus 2, or, cause I know there's set, you can buy them separate.
Not that I've heard of.
I think
I just get the be like, I like it or I don't like it. But you know, the one thing I think that really like makes the game good, it makes Travis Scott good, is like it's like this weird down, like weird every we can relate to so many different types of like video game players. Like, oh, he's lazy and a slouch, but he wants to be number one. Like his lightsaber or his beat saber. I called it beat saber and lightsaber, but you know what I mean? Like his saber is like a really cool mix. Like, oh, this is a homage to Star Wars, but then it makes like 8-bit or chiptune sounds. It's like, this is cool. You know what I mean? Like it's a very video gaming like, kind of character in series, which is awesome. But at the same time, it's really mature. Like it's also very mature and funny. So it's like, you know, like it hits like every genre, and that's why I'm like, it's a really good everyman kind of series, and it's a bit underrated, I'd say. Like, I think it just came out at a weird time. Like,
yeah,
it was like,
and it's on TV.
Yeah, because like I don't know, like when I think of like that game, like at the same time, I'm like, okay, it kind of reminds me of what Okami looked like, and I mean, you guys know I hate that game, but I'm like, and it's like people were playing that, or people were, you know, were going on with other things, and it's like it just kind of came out and became a cult following game. But like, you can't deny that what it did, like it's very funny and it's very good at what it does. Like, I'm not the biggest Platinum like games fan ever, or I mean, Suda 51 guys. Sorry, very same thing, but to me they're kind of the same thing. But that's how I know they're different. If I can actually differentiate the two, I'm like, all right, he's got his own identity, and I think that's important because sometimes games just blend now. I think Matt, you were saying, roguelites, rogue, you know, it's like, you don't know, but you can tell.
Suda's games do not blend. That is what you can say for sure. Like, have you guys ever played Killer 7?
I've heard of that.
I've seen it.
It is among the weirdest video games I've ever played. It's really cool. There are rumors it's going to possibly get remade eventually or released somewhere like on Switch. If you can get a hold of a copy of it, I think it's on both PlayStation or GameCube. It is really unique. Like, it's hard to say if it's good or not. I love it, but it's one of those things where you like love it. I love it because he is such a strange director, and it's well before No More Heroes. It's kind of, I think it's
Suda is your Kojima. That's what it sounds like when you talk about him. It sounds like you're like my boy just got the Amazon simulator. What was it? Sam Porter Bridges in
Death Stranding.
That's it. Yeah, I can name everything but the actual title. But yeah, he just got it, and he's a huge Kojima fan. He goes, "Yo, it's actually not bad. It's like it's pretty good." And I'm like, yeah, you like, you know what I mean? Like, you like Kojima. You liked every Metal Gear. You liked the direction it goes. He's like, it's X and a lot of watching. And I'm like, yeah, man, just, you know, he can't go to Hollywood and give him a 25-hour script, but he could do that in a game, you know?
That's an interesting thing. Suda's weirder almost, but like, it's an interesting comparison. Like, I mean, Suda is weirder. I mean, like, because he, like, if you play Killer 7, you'll see what I mean. That game is out there. It is out there, and it doesn't apologize for how out there it is. It's like, it literally feels like you're playing a first-person shooter that is designed to make you feel like you're on drugs, and you're like, and it doesn't make sense a lot of the time. It feels like a David Lynch film or something like that. It's very, very odd. It's probably, if I made a list of the oddest video games I've ever played in my life, like Killer 7 would make the list, like easily without thinking about it. It'd be like, oh yeah, like
are you like Beautiful Joe also? You just like weird cel-shaded comic things. Right?
Well, it's not just cel-shading. It's that the thing that makes Killer 7 unforgettable to someone who puts the time into it is how strange the narrative is. I mean, like, you literally can't quite figure out what's going on a lot of the time, but you know it's interesting if you're into it. It's weird though. It's also like a first person shooter when the conventions of how they work weren't fully like outlined. And so you have to go into it expecting it to feel like it plays differently. Like it's recommended with an asterisk. If anything I'm saying makes you think you might like it, or you've ever played a Suda game and thought it was brilliant, then definitely play it. It's probably really, really cheap on like PlayStation. I don't know if the GameCube copy would be cheap or not. Like, you know, you
check. Did I miss Matt talk about Snooze of the Wild? I mean,
I hear you playing Kingdom Hearts.
yeah, I mean, no, it's been on, I just haven't touched it. Okay, Age of...
Calamity.
Age of Home is too intensive. You talk about the game while I think of a new terrible pun for this game.
Oh, okay, thinking of the yeah, so I guess we'll move on to that. They released a Hyrule Warriors.
Got it. Hyrule Warriors Age of Button Mashing. No, it's not. That's mediocre. 5 out of 10.
Age of Extinction? Because stink?
Not bad. I don't know. That's definitely that's top bad. Right now. But it sounds too cool.
All right, Matt. Cool. What do you think of a terrible game? You played the demo.
So I didn't play the original. I don't know. I just didn't get around to it. I just kind of left it. And I don't know if they fixed this in the Switch version or not, but I remember in the original on the Wii U, you couldn't change characters mid-game, which bugged me because I'm like, I don't remember how long the levels were supposed to be, but they're going to be lengthy enough. And I'm like, if I can't switch characters, because I know the 3DS one, I think you could do that. I just wasn't interested because you would just get bored of one character too quickly. So the fact that this you can is already a step up. I'm just typing this. They give you two missions in the game. They're about, I don't know, 15 to 20 minutes each. And you can play as Link, Zelda, and Impa. Link, you can charge his attacks. Zelda uses a bunch of runes in like her main combo. And then Impa, she can pull like a Naruto clone jutsu where she copies herself and like covers a wide area. And they also all have like a super move and stuff. And they can actually all use runes. But how they works differently for each character. So Link can create an ice rune and then he can jump off and then fly with his glider versus Zelda. She can make it and either kick it towards enemies, or if she's near water, she can like ride on top of it, and, like push into enemies. So I think that helps separate it, because I thought it was weird that they all can use it. And that would have been boring if it was all the same. I think it plays fine. I'm like, it's hard to tell because it was only two missions, and then they blue ball you by showing you other missions, and they're like, oh, you gotta play by the game, and I'm like, ah, you suck. Because they put it on the map,
it's full access to the game with everything blocked technically. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because they like place the markers on the map, and it's like, oh, is there more to this demo? And then you go to it, and it's like, you gotta buy the game first. I'm like, yeah, you dick.
Obviously, your save file is gonna carry over.
Yeah, but I mean, like, you don't play that far into the game, so it wouldn't matter anyway.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I forget. I played a demo of another game recently. It's like your save file carries over. I'm like, the demo was 10 minutes long. What am I saving?
Well, that's
like,
huge
wow, guys.
Huge probably
took
10 minutes.
It probably took longer to download that, whatever that game was, than to actually play it.
But, Matt, but think about it. You can make popcorn and eat it, okay? You got But okay, so but, in the demo, can you only play Linku, or you get Link and Zelda?
No, you get Link, Zelda, and Impa you can play as.
Oh, young Impa, right?
Yeah, yeah.
How is it? Who is your favorite of the three?
I actually like Impa the most, because Link is like your standard guy, and it's like, okay. Zelda, I didn't really like how her combo works. It doesn't feel proper. Powerful. Like, no, it's just weird, because it's like, I forget all the runes, but it's like, she does like a bomb one, and then like the time stasis quickly, and then like ice, and it just doesn't feel like how a normal combo hits, and they're all like in different, you know, the attacks are like at different lengths and stuff. I don't know, if just play it and I'm sure you'll agree that it just feels a bit off.
I mean, she looked like the least appeasing from what I've seen. I mean, Impa looked cool because she looked different.
Yeah,
but like you said, like Link is, hey, I'm Hyrule Warriors guy with sword. Okay.
But yeah, I thought Impa was the most fun to use, just because it's cool to have like five of your characters, and then you're like all slashing a bunch of enemies at once, and then, you know, you can pull off a super move where you blow them all up.
Yeah, I mean, I like that. I mean, the only character, like, I'm gonna definitely get it to try it out. Like, I'm not like, oh, you guys should get this game, because we all know how I feel about Hyrule Warriors. I think that game should, you know, you should have more use wiping your ass than actually being played.
fun. I want to play as Falco. He's my favorite character in Breath of the Wild. Like, a lot of
that ain't Falco.
Like, but...
That ain't Falco.
Yeah, dude, it's gonna be really cool when I use my laser and.
Shit. I always think it's Falco too. That's funny you say that.
Yeah, like it's gonna be cool. He's gonna dare them. He might shine, and I'm like, yo, this is sick. Okay, maybe it's special. Brand is R-Wing out, which is dope. So I'm excited to play Falco in that. But other than that, I don't know. It's now I've heard rumors that well, not rumors. I've heard many posts saying the game runs like as I said earlier, Mick ass. All right. That's worse than ass. So now, did you play handheld? Did you play
I played I played docked. There were definitely like frame rate issues when I was playing the first level, like in the beginning. I think it like kind of leveled out as I was playing, or maybe I just wasn't paying enough attention to it.
Pro gamer.
Yeah, it's definitely not like great. I don't think it's unplayable. But I think if you notice like 60, if I don't know how some people don't
definitely like
can't understand 60 frames, somehow don't see 60 frames per second because I don't know, they're insane, I guess. But I mean,
okay,
if you know what 60 frames looks like, you're going to notice like this doesn't run great, but I don't think it's also unplayable.
So it's playable. So you're saying it's like you? Yeah, did you play Link's Awakening or anybody in chat play?
I did.
Okay. Is it like kind of like that, where it's like, oh, these are stuttery, but this game's still fine, just because like it felt like the water took all the loading out of Link's Awakening.
I don't remember the frame rate issues in Link's Awakening, but I'd say the frame rate issues are noticeable. Like, but you'll probably like mostly get used to it and be like, ah, oh, well, I guess this is what I gotta trade off for.
Yeah, you just gotta kill enemies so there's less things to load. Makes sense. It's part of the design. It's a marketing thing. You guys wouldn't get it. but yeah, I always laughed. I was like, okay, if I kill more of them, then the game will load better. So I guess I just have to anyway. So, Age of Mindless Drones. No, that's more of a personal attack, which is exactly what I'm going for. But that's not right. I'll be thinking of
it. You gotta keep workshopping it.
I know.
I had decent fun with it. I might get it. Whether it'll wear out quickly, I don't know. Because, you know, again, only two missions. I think the variety of characters and the fact that you'll be able to switch through them mid-game will help.
That's a big change. Because, like, it did kind of suck. Going like, well, yeah, I pick Link for this one, and it's like
play it for 20 to 40 minutes. It's like, oh, great. So
yeah,
I think that has a bit up. The difference is that I'm pretty sure this is gonna have a lot fewer characters than Hyrule Warriors because it's just like Breath of the Wild stuff.
They're gonna be okay at the end of the game. I'm just guessing, but I don't think things are gonna look that peachy at the end. Just saying.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
I hope
Falco. We might end off with fewer characters than we started somehow.
So don't really expect to have that many.
Maybe don't get attached to too many. Don't put all these skill points in. Yeah.
I can see that, man. That should be a kind of a waiver for people who were fans of the Warriors ones. Like, you're not gonna get 40 characters and random like alternate versions of Zelda characters and Linkles and, you know, Ganondorf with a main. You're not going to get that. But
the flip side to that, though, is you can craft weapons. And I didn't know this because I didn't actually test in the game, but I'm looking at some videos they released today. You can, like, unlock different or find different weapons, and they actually play differently.
That's cool.
I only see Link using different weapons. So he, like, uses a lance and... like a club and some other stuff. I wasn't sure if it was aesthetic or plays differently, but it does look like they actually do play differently. So I guess that's, you can have that to make up for the lack of more characters. I'm not sure how that's going to extend to the rest of the cast. Like, obviously Link will be able to use the regular stuff. Impa technically does have like swords or dagger type things. I'm not sure if her moveset is really going to change from it. And then Zelda, like, technically her weapon, quote unquote, is just the Sheikah slate, because she's using Sheikah moves. So somehow I don't think her moves are really going to change. So I don't know how that's going to work. So I'm guessing like some characters might get different weapons and some don't. Maybe it's just Link. I don't know.
It feels like it's just a jump thing, though. Like in reality, like I feel like it's like, okay, I pick Link, and it's like, oh, I don't want to be Sword Link. Get Lance. Like,
yeah,
they're not going to break. Do you know if they're going to break or not, or any word on that? Or?
Not that I've heard. And when I played the game, nothing broke. So, the thing is, too, I don't recall if you can change your gear in the middle of a level. Or if you can only do it afterwards. So if your weapons do break, it only breaks after a level versus within, because I don't recall if you can, you know, change on the fly or not.
That would be way better, because like, what the hell are you gonna do if it actually broke and you can't change your equipment? Then you're gonna be like, oh, do I fisticuff everybody? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can't believe they take breaking weapons out of the game. I mean, it was one of the most popular features of Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, but it's also one of the most divisive and hated features of
Breath of the Wild. I'm just kidding. Like, I know.
That was like the worst thing, because Skyward Sword actually had breaking, you know, items first, and that game is just as bad, if not worse.
Okay? No, I like the breaking weapons element of it. I thought people were being big babies to complain about it, because it's like obsessive collector mentality where you can't like let go of a breaking weapon. I'm like, this is just a feature of this game. Like, there's always another weapon.
Wrong. It's not allowed to be in Zelda games, damn it, Clay. All right? Zelda games are meant to not have that. People were always like, dude, why can Link can run across the galaxy or whatever? And I'm like, bitch, he traveled. He freaking did it 6 parsecs, all right? But, like, it doesn't matter, okay? But, yeah, no, it's just, I don't know. I mean, I have no hopes for this game. I don't care about this game. I cannot wait.
But I do have my pre-order, and I'm going to pick it up day one.
Yeah, and then don't worry, guys. I'm going to get day zero. But yeah,
you're going to break into the store before it releases to play it, and then you're like going to beat it before it releases. You'll be there on the first day. You're like, I'm here to return it. You're like, we just opened the store.
Yeah, no, I'm going to be returning it. It's like, how did you get this before it came out? Yeah. Don't worry, I'm returning it now, though. But yeah, so I like my hopes. Here's my predictions of the game. One, it's bullshit because it's not a prediction, it's just a statement right here. One, the game is bullshit because A, it's a Warriors game, Musou game, and also two, that you're gonna give me past and story elements for your Zelda game, which is supposed to have story elements because that's a strong tie point, and you're gonna give it to me 3 years later in an alternate spin-off. Meanwhile, you barely gave me you gave me just enough information about everybody where it's not really gonna add anything. Okay, fine. But two, I cannot wait for all these suckers to play and buy this game and realize it's ass because everyone's so hyped about it. And Breath of the Wild garbage. Oh, I'm going to be feasting off that negative energy when it comes off. All right? I'm licking my chops right now. Oh, I'm drooling. All right? They're going to be like, this game actually sucks. What the hell, man? This is terrible. Some people actually think this is Breath of the Wild too, by the way. That's how stupid some consumers are. Okay?
Mike's just cooking a plate of fries to get all his salt on. He's like, ready.
Oh, man, it's juicy right now. I have it right over the fryer right now. Oh, I cannot wait to dump all these people in them and just eat them up. Just right, like, what's the date coming out? The 22nd or something?
I don't recall.
All right, well, Nintendo usually does Tuesdays, right? So let's just say the 24th or something like that. But, yeah, it's going to be great. Oh, and I think everyone's going to drop the game anyway in, like, 2.5 weeks. It's cool if they brought some changes. The only thing I could see about this game is that it's going to give us it's going to be more rumors for Switch Pro because Monster Hunter and Switch Pro because they basically leaked it. So that's my whole rant on it.
So my question, because you did play the original, right?
I did, yes.
So what would you what did they do there that you would hope changes for this game?
Okay.
Don't be a Musou game, because obviously that they can't really do that.
Well, afterwards was they made what's the best way to say it? They alternated or they alternatively made a Zelda game like more. They made the combat more
let's say, what's the word? I'm looking for like an imagination meets like a fan creation. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, oh, this is how I imagine Link would do this combo when he kicks enemies' asses. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, it's like that kind of thing. Like, they brought realism into a fan's idea of it. And I think they did that very well. So, like, when I was Link in Hyrule Warriors, and I would do, like, some sick, awesome combo, like, let's just call it, Triforce of Courage Spin Slash. And it's like, oh, shit, this is badass. You know what I mean? Like, it was, like, some crazy, epic, like, cutscene for it. I was like, this is sick. Like, you know, maybe this is how Link fights. They can't program this all the time. Or, you know, like, it'd be kind of crazy. It's not Platinum Games. So that means it would be worse. Or just be just as bad. But, sorry to take a shot at you like that, Clay. But I think what I'm hoping for in this game is that they kind of expand, like, really, which sounds like they already did, like, kind of the fighting styles to make it more, like, make it more work in that world. You know what I mean? Like, be just as flashy enough, maybe get rid of, like, the durability or, like, do something, like, cool with it where it's, like, they have a very cool style, you know? Like, I can't deny that. Musou games, they bring life to stoic characters. And no shot on Link, no shot on any. It's like, I'm just saying, it's like, you think of Musou game, it's like, oh, these are just old Japanese people fighting with lances. But then it's like, oh, epic 2000 hit combo awesomeness. And it's like, oh, damn. So I'm excited to see what they could do with the Breath of the Wild elements to make awesome combos and like destruction and all that other stuff. You know what I mean? Like you said, the specials are cool and the battles are cool. So I just want to see what more they can do with that.
Okay. Speaking of that, since you brought it up, it did remind me as I'm watching some gameplay that the elemental abilities work the same. So if you get like an electric Wizrobe staff and you shoot electricity into a lake, like I did that with like a Lizalfos, and all the Lizalfos were like killed because I electrocuted the water. So that kind of stuff makes it over, which is cool. And you can pick up, you know, those characters' staffs and use them as items.
Okay. No, see, that's cool. I like when they, you know, there somehow is original Breath of the Wild. I like when it's the original IP plus new fancy things. Mm-hmm. So hopefully I like it. I doubt I'll like it. And I have no hopes for it. So, and I just want everyone to suffer. That's my hope. Okay.
Very uplifting words.
Yeah, it's gonna be a great Christmas scene. All those four poets like, this game's actually monkey ball terrible. I'm like, yeah, it smells like them too, right? Ah, dumbass, you bought the game.
I mean, like, I think like this game isn't for me. We've talked about this series a lot of times, and I've never played one, but I've stayed away from it because I'm not really into mashers. And like, I think the one thing you're overlooking is that like, it's a good bet for them because like. There are a lot of people who don't really want that deep of a video game. Like, let's just face it. Like, there's a lot of people who played Animal Crossing and it's not even a video game. Like, it's, you know, it's not a game. What's your goal? You know, no, but in seriousness, without taking dick shots, as you say, at Animal Crossing. I don't know. Like, there's a lot of people who like think mashing buttons is fun and they loved Breath of the Wild. And so that those two things, if I was the sales director, you know, I'd say, yeah, green light this, you know, it's like, it will sell like crazy. And I'm not trying to be condescending. I think there are people that will love it. You know, they'll be like, this is so awesome. There's people that arguably might like it better than Zelda because they're going to be like, this is more fun because I don't have to like think, you know?
Oh, I get it. So you're saying people who like Breath of the Wild have 2 IQ and this is the perfect game for them. Yes. And Clay, finally, we're on the same page.
I say that at all, but hey, there's a type of gamer that this might like just go over gangbusters for. They're like, you know, this is like Breath of the Wild if it was just like arcade smash the button.
Yeah, yeah.
A typical action game.
Like boom, 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 smash. Oh, this looks awesome. Yeah, that's a fair point to look at too.
I would green light it. I'd be like, yeah, dude, let's sell a million copies. Let's do it. You know, like that would be my exact reaction.
It's because people think it's Breath of the Wild too, and they're dumb consumers. The majority of everybody is stupid.
All right, then.
Harsh.
And there's your thesis.
I would say it's also, I don't think it's necessarily like people are being swindled into it. I think there's a ton of people who are like, hey, I like Breath of the Wild. That sequel ain't coming out anytime soon. But hey, this is something I can play in the meantime that has a similar style, like, you know, all the different weapons, the elemental abilities, how the game, the like combat is similar enough. Where they're like, sure, I'll play this because it's Breath of the Wild-ish or right. close enough, and it'll fill my time in between, you know, the sequel. So absolutely. I think it's just capitalizing on those people who want, you know, another Breath of the Wild game, but obviously that's not coming for a while.
Absolutely.
I can see that, man. That makes the most sense. And that's the way I kind of looked at it, the most, like, in, you know, logically, non-evil Michael, but it's you know, like, oh, people enjoy Breath of the Wild, which I still can't fathom or believe, but, and it's like, I want to know more about the world, or, like, I get to see my favorite character. My favorite character was this dead shit person who clearly lost in the past, and you had three cutscenes that you had to look for by taking a picture of a piece of sand in a desert, but who am I to say that that's the actual last, all right? I mean, I'm just saying, maybe they like that, so, you know, they'll get to get more of their character without having to look for a piece of coconut that got dried after 30,000 years and the old way to my brain, like, okay? Yeah. You guys realize how bad the game Breath of the Wild is? I'm explaining how to actually get stupid cutscenes. You guys I'm telling you.
Yeah, well, we've never had that debate before on this podcast. Never. Never talked about that.
Man, Clay, it's 3 years, 3 year anniversary. Mario Sombrero is now considered racist, and they're getting rid of that in the Mario Odyssey cover. So, is it is that the reason why you were playing Mario Odyssey, by the way? Is because you thought Sombrero Mario was very racist, and people complained about it. Were you one of those, and that's why you didn't play the game? Because they got rid of it.
Why are they wearing, like, I'm not aware of the controversy. Why would one argue that him wearing a sombrero is racist?
I have no idea, but I'm pretty sure it was news I heard of recently. I'm going to look it up recently. Right now.
It happened when they were revealing the cover art. I don't think it was that many people, but basically people were saying, oh, well, he's not, you know, Spanish or Mexican or whatever, so you can't wear a sombrero, which obviously is stupid. I mean, like, I don't think they changed the box art for that. I think it was just they had a temporary box art, and then I don't remember what it was, but I think when they changed it, it didn't seem like it was a reactionary change. I think it was just coincidental that both things happened, because they also would have, I think they would have just said that they changed it.
I'm just saying.
Nintendo has said before, hey, we're changing this because of so-and-so and other reasons, where it was more obvious, like, hey, everyone was talking about Steve's meat on Twitter. And then, you know, an update like a week later changed it. I think the turnaround time for like whatever, I don't remember exact details, but to me, when I was back then, it didn't seem like it was a reactionary change on their part. It would seem like they were just changing it anyway.
A backlash or like you know, it doesn't, but at the same time, it is ridiculous. We need Steve's meat back, and we need Clay to play.
We need Steve's meat back.
I'm good. I'll pass on Steve's meat. I'm both a vegetarian.
No, Steve, man. For you, but like obviously in your future, right?
Yeah. Sounds good.
All right. We're I think it's
Odyssey. I'm shaking my head right now, Matt. Shaking my head. This guy played all of Sunshine, and he didn't play one. He didn't even sniff or even lick the taste of Mario Odyssey's character.
I know. There's every time I see like a Mario Odyssey thing, I'm like, man, I kind of don't want to like or retweet this in case the one time Uno Clay like shows up and like sees it and I accidentally spoil it for him somehow, because I don't know what you have or haven't seen. I did like one thing in like the last week or so, and I'm like, I hope you don't see it because it's cool, but it was too cool not to give a like.
Very kind of you.
But I'm like, it's been like several years. I'll give this one like to this person because it's really cool.
That's
Mike, very, maybe very, I'll show you.
That's
later.
Very, very social media polite of you. I appreciate that.
Not a problem.
Matt had this at 4 a.m. so you wouldn't see it. He's like, I have the clays up. Like,
No, that's worse, because then it'll remind you when someone gets up on normal time. Hey, oh, yeah. Here's the tweets you missed.
Yeah, you got to do it in the middle of the day.
Yeah. But
that's funny. Yeah, eventually I'll get to it. I'm not worried about it.
Gosh. All right. Well, I think we'll about wrap it up there for this episode. You can find us at Just Another Castle on... Wait, no, I say that later. You can find me at The Mango Viking on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. I released my one video for the year. That one song from like 8 months ago called Doom Crossing. I remade it in Smash Brothers, so please check it out if three people are listening at this point.
Oh, yeah, I saw the preview on Facebook. I'm definitely going to check that bad boy out. I was like, ooh. Spicy Matt finally put something out. I also saw two different things. I saw a Portal one and I saw something else.
Yeah, I made like a teaser of one. There's a there's like a portal to hell, and on that portal I had like a bunch of kanji around it, so I just like made a quick video being like, here's what all the kanji mean, because you can't really search it up conveniently. So I just explained it because I thought it was cool.
I was like, shit, where's my kanji keyboard?
Exactly. But yeah, Mike, where can people find you?
All right, guys, you can find me on mostly on YouTube, which is SMB Gaming 64, or currently changed to Nintendo Troy right now. So SMB Gaming 64, the main way you can find me. Doing a lot of I'm doing Super Mario World ROM hacks and Mario 64 ROM hacks right now, and obviously every Sunday we do Mario Maker and some Among Us. But other than that, you go on Twitter and find me at TroyfulBuster too, but not two. Two as an as well. See, that's grammar right there, guys. So you get education and you get Mario when you come to my YouTube channel. As begin.
So are you no longer game men?
No, yeah.
You're no longer game men.
Yeah, guys, we were gaming. Get it? Like we're gaming, but we.
No, we get it.
All right. See, we were gaming because I it's a gaming channel, so it's gaming. Sure.
You guys are no longer. Amen. I get it.
Exactly. Okay, so we're not gaming anymore, but we are still gaming on the channel. You get what I'm saying?
You guys are still gaming.
I love that name. I'm not gonna lie, I love that name.
You guys are still doing good. You guys are still doing good things. You guys are good buddies. Good buddies.
You know, they've just been busy. I'm trying to get the game in to meet up for a quick Mario Party and then make play some Visage. So,
wait, you guys are trying to have a game in meet up?
Yeah, man.
Don't they call those orgies?
Look, guys, this is gonna be gaming. We're gaming. We game. Okay.
Some gaming.
Yeah, exactly. Now you get it.
Yeah, we're talking about video games. I get it.
Don't tell me. I don't want to know if there's any Wiimotes involved. Just keep that to yourselves.
Oh God! Yeah, but if you're gonna use Wiimotes, make sure you put the silicone the condom, wrap on it.
Use protection. Use the Wiimote plus.
You don't want to throw that Wiimote through anything important. Come on,
God.
Wiimote plus the freaking motion plus is built in. Come on, what do you think we're chumps? All right, come on now.
Never forget to wear a rubber.
Never forget to put the silicone wrap on it, bro.
All right. Uno Clay, where can people find you?
I have been putting out a couple videos. Check out my YouTube channel, Uno Clay Gaming. And is it called Uno Clay Gaming? What's my gaming channel called, guys? I'm great at...
Is it Uno Clay 1 or is that your Twitter?
I think it's Uno Clay 1.
Yeah, it's Uno Clay Gaming. No, it's Uno Clay Gaming is my gaming channel. Put up a couple videos recently comparing some graphics from Super NES to the Mini, and I put up some Atari Lynx homebrew reviews that I'm going to start promoting a little bit once I get another one or two under my belt. And just doing it for fun, mainly, and gives me an excuse to play my Atari Lynx a little bit more. And I need some entertainment when there's no podcast to do, you know? And locked in the house all the time because the world's on fire. So, yeah, I need stuff to do. Thanks.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, definitely check out his Atari Lynx stuff. That's pretty cool. I was surprised out of those games that you showed like the most.
Do I go on Uno Clay Twitter for Twitter stuff? Is it Uno Clay Twitter as one thing?
There's Uno Clay Gaming on Twitter. There's regular Uno Clay on Twitter.
What about Uno Clay 1?
I don't know what Uniclay one is. That's my eBay account.
There we go. Okay, I'm glad. I'm glad.
I don't remember where I heard that from. Yeah, it was funny that out of those Lynx homebrew games you were showing off, the one I found most interesting was just the numbers one. It's like the most basic.
Yeah, puzzle games hold up the best. I've just completed the footage for the second. I mean, I have like 100 homebrews to look at. I don't know if I'll get through even a percentage of them before I get bored of doing the videos. But like, that's exactly what will, you know, spoiler alert for my really hot YouTube series. But like, that's what I immediately realize is that when you get to games of this vintage, at least for me, puzzle games often hold up the best because they have replay value. And like, they're so dated, you're not going to be blown away by the graphics, except in a technological, like, amazement sense. You know, like, holy crap, someone made, like, these graphics on this limited system or whatever. But, like, that's not going to keep you playing it. It's, like, the gameplay fundamentally is the thing. That's kind of true of all retro gaming. It's, like, you know, there's going to be other things that keep you coming back. And in my second set of five games that I just went through, I think there's two puzzle games in it, and they're both by far the ones I'm going to make a folder for, that I'm going to put them on the top layer of my ROM cart, that it's like, oh, these are games I'm actually going to want to play again. They're not just a lark, like turn it on and check out how cool it is that someone made an Alien, you know, the movie video game in Lynx. And then it turns out it's not very fun to play, even though it's impressive. You know, it's like, okay, well, the puzzle game, like you said, the one you were playing, the 2048 is like, hey, this is actually cool. Like, you know, I can see why this is like kind of an internet phenomenon or whatever. Like this, I could see sitting here and playing this, like just idling away a few minutes here and there. So yeah, thanks for checking it out. Yeah, I liked your Smash Brothers video too. It's funny. It's very funny, even though I really don't like you giving all that hype to Animal Crossing. It's just like, come on, dude, for real.
Yeah, he gets triggered when he sees any Isabelle.
A little bit. Plus my one buddy is so good with Isabelle that every time I've played him, it's just brutal. Like it's just like being put through, like, you know, a meat grinder when he brings out his Isabelle, and it's like, okay, I don't even like seeing Isabelle anymore. I'm like, nah, I'm good on that. I hate playing as her and I hate playing against her. So I'm good.
Well, you know, man, I mean, it makes sense. Doom Crossing, I mean, Animal Crossing and Doom came out at the same time. So.
Yep.
Yeah. That was
I think that's the conceit.
Yeah.
Doom Crossing. Turnover Horizons. I like that. You could also went for, you know, Animal Doom. PETA would have got your video taken down. Good move. Can't call it Animal Doom.
Yeah.
Isabelle winning. So PETA be in favor of it.
It would have been the only other way is Animal Doom, and then it would have been, New Eternal, which makes no sense. So it did. Oh, this guy tortured
Animal. Falling apart here. It's falling apart. All right. Kill the podcast, Matt. Yep.
All right, wherever you're listening, you can find us at Just the Castle on every platform on the internet. Hit us up with your questions if you're interested in being a guest at Just Another Castle, or me directly at the Manga Viking. So until next time, leave luck to the heavens and leave gaming to Nintendo.